years ago, I was teaching a confirmation class, and we were talking about baptism, about what it means, about their baptisms, and about how two of them had yet to be baptized. Their family had joined the church only recently, and they'd come from a denomination where children were not included in the sacrament of holy baptism. And they were concerned about that. They were worried about that. And I told them that God still loved them. It didn't matter that they hadn't been physically baptized outside. God still loved them. And one of them was really upset that she hadn't been baptized. And so after conversations with her family, the two who hadn't been baptized were to be baptized the next week. That was about a month prior to Confirmation Sunday. And it was a joyous event. The other members of the confirmation class wanted to give them a great big party to celebrate their baptisms, and so we did, and it was a lot of fun. But one of the things that will always stick in my mind about this event, and the reason why it pops back clearly into my mind, even 12 years later, is the awful mistake I made in their baptisms. You see, these two young 13-year-old young women were twins. They were identical twins. They were very identical twins. And some of you are laughing. Some of you pastors know where I'm going with this. So keep quiet. Let me get the punchline through. And I got confused. I admit, I got confused. I baptized each of them with the other's name. They were so identical and always dressed alike and acted alike and looked alike. They often answered to each other's names, and that didn't help. At the time of their baptism, nobody knew that the ladies, I had switched their names. Nobody. I didn't know it. The confirmation class members didn't know it. Their parents didn't know it. I think they knew it. I baptized one with the other's name and vice versa. And they didn't tell anybody about the mix-up for 3 weeks, not until Confirmation Sunday. A wonderful gotcha, friends. I was so embarrassed. I was so horrified. They thought it was funny. And you know what? Looking back across it from 12 years, it was funny. The parents thought it was funny. Whew. Wow. And they admitted they often got their kids confused. The mother said that she often considered one of them to be a spare. And when they asked her which one, she says, "I haven't decided yet." And 12 years later, after looking back upon it, yeah, it was hilarious. And it certainly created a teaching moment, though not one that I was looking for. I pulled from the prophet Isaiah on this one, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you." That's good news for me. "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." I may not have gotten the twins' names right, but God got them right. I may not have gotten it right. I may have switched their names in their baptisms, but God knew which was which. Which was Sarah and which was Zara. Yes, even their names were alike. It's important to be named and known. It's important to be recognized and affirmed. It is important to know who you are and where you fit in. And who has called you, and who has redeemed you, and who has loved you, and who will embrace you no matter what. That was important for me as a young man too. Searching for community, searching for love, searching for affirmation, searching for inclusion. When talking about baptism with a different group of confirmands, I remember them asking me what the S was, the initial S was in my name. Gregory S. Neal. I've always gone by Gregory S. Neal. And so, being a bit squirrely, I challenged them to guess what the S stood for. Some said Samuel. One said Simon. Still another said Stephen. And one even suggested Sebastian, which I particularly liked, Gregory Sebastian Neal. That has some heft to it, doesn't it? Then one young man who loved Harry Potter, had read the books and seen the movies, he perked up and said, Severus. Gregory Severus Neal. I like it. But no, the S in my name is boring. Scott. Ugh. Gregory Scott Neal. I remember asking Mom about it, and my brother is named after my dad. Yeah, he's a junior, but goes by Chuck rather than Charles or Mayo. But who am I named after? I asked. And Mom told me all about my great uncle Scott, who had died in World War II on a beach in Normandy. What about Gregory, I asked. And Mom admitted that I almost wasn't Gregory, and that she and Dad had all along planned to name me David. David Scott Neal. But that when the hospital staff asked what my name would be, all of a sudden and unbeknownst to her, she just blurted out Gregory Scott Neal. Who was Gregory, I asked her. Because I didn't know any Gregories in either the Miller, the Moon, or the Neal family. And she admitted that there weren't any Gregories. So I'm not named after anybody, I asked. Not named after a single soul in our family. And she laughed and said, no, you're unique. Thank God. Well, not exactly. There are lots of Gregories around, but not in our family. I'm the only Gregory. I'm kind of like a Tigger. I'm the only one. Do not fear, God says, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Do not fear. Those words are important for us today. Do not fear. If you think about the world we live in, the disasters that happen around us, look what's happening in California, the fires in Los Angeles, the thousands and thousands and thousands of homes that have been destroyed, the many thousands of people that have been displaced, the deaths, the pain, the anguish, the cost. Oh my God, lives, the cost in lives destroyed. Yet God says, and we need to latch onto this, do not fear. For I, God speaking, have redeemed you. Redeemed you. Delivered you. Saved you. Captured you back. Wow. I have called you by name in our baptisms. Just as in Jesus' baptism, God calls us by name and declares that we are God's child. And just as God said to Jesus, you are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased, so also God says to each and every one of us, you are my child, I love you, with you I am well pleased. I'm reminded of my own baptism. I was baptized in 1967. Dr. Ira Galloway was the founding pastor of Walnut Hill United Methodist Church in Dallas, except at that time it was just Methodist Church. And Mom had this beautiful little outfit for me with a little cap, took the cap off, took the little cape off. So just a little outfit. And Dr. Galloway takes me and he holds me up for the congregation to see, and then he takes the water in his hand and he scoops it over my head. I don't remember this. This is what's been told to me. And he takes the water and he scoops it over in his hand and he pours it over my head. And as he's holding me and he does this, I cry and pee all over him. Now, of course, I don't remember that. Mom tells me. Oh, my God, Mom has reminded me many times. Anytime anything happens of any problem in worship, Mom will always remind me, remember what you did in your baptism. It's a good thing I belong to God, right? You are my child, God says. I love you. With you, I am well pleased. So often Christians will be quick to beat on that total depravity stuff. Not just our Calvinist friends, the evangelicals too. They're really good at it. And they'll say things like, we're totally depraved. Well, when I peed, I was, but no, it's okay. We're awful, they say. We're bad, they say. We're degenerate, they say. We're lost. And you know, there are times when it's easy to buy into that criticism. Just look around at the state of our society and our political world. It's easy to doubt the goodness of people. I can become very easily convinced in concepts like total depravity. It can be easy to take the biblical statements about us all being wayward sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all on Christ. And yes, we do sometimes do some pretty stupid things, like mix up the names of two young women coming for their baptisms. But God doesn't mix us up. And God claims us as God's own children. And God says that we are God's beloved. And God says, with you I am well pleased. I want you to keep that in your mind as we continue to move into this new year. We may make mistakes. We may mess things up. We may choose the wrong way. We may make the wrong decision, select the wrong person, elect the wrong option, but God has still called us all by name, and we are God's beloved children, all of us. Yes, even when we make mistakes, even when we fail to be the kind of people God wants us to be, in our baptisms, God has still called us each by name, and we are God's precious possession. That's pretty good news, isn't it? That's the gospel, the good news of God for us today, tomorrow, next week, next month, throughout this entire year. This message, this word of God, spoken by the prophet Isaiah, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. We are God's children. Cherish that. Hold on to that in the difficult times. And then share that good news of the adoptive love of God with all. As God said to Jesus, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. So also God says to us, you are my beloved children. With you I am well pleased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people sing.